Hey, this is Jeff Floyd, pastor of C3 Church Bathurst, and this is our podcast. Thank you for joining us today. C3 Bathurst brings life to people by helping them to be revived, restored, and released through getting to know Jesus and his people. We hope that this message will bring you life today. Hey, well, good morning. It's so lovely to be zooming in, to be with you this morning. And I'm so excited to bring you this message as we look at our series on how do we respond to Jesus' love. You see, the idea is that Jesus loves us with incredible love, with great affection, with great purpose. And so his love poured out for us. We saw that all last year as we walked through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We got a real understanding of how much he loved for us and made a way for us to love him. And so this month, we're looking at how do we respond back to Jesus? What's our deal? How do we live this life in response to Jesus' love? Keeping in mind the idea that Jesus loves us first and we respond to that love. It's not the other way around. It's not that we try to earn God's love and our favor by doing good things. That's just empty religion. It'll get you nowhere but frustration. In fact, it should drive you to Jesus if you're trying that. So the real question is, how do we love God back? And that was the question that somebody asked Jesus in Mark 12. And you might remember from last week. And if you haven't seen last week, jump onto YouTube and grab that message so that you've got a good sequence of this. But Jesus' response was, you know, what's the greatest commandment, or how do we love God back? It was this: love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's what we did last week. And then he says, and to love your neighbor as yourself. There's no other commandment greater than this. So once we've got the hang of loving God with our heart, soul, mind, and strength, alongside that, we need to be loving our neighbor as ourselves. And if we just do those things, that's awesome. We will have a really effective way to reciprocate and thank God for the love that he has. So that's where we're going today. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, right now, open your word. Open your heart to us. Underscore things, speak to us. Give us the Holy Spirit's interpretation for each one, so that we would be truly blessed people who love neighbors. Amen. So here's the question. There's probably around 8 billion people on the planet right now. Who's my neighbor? So which one of these 8 billion people do I love? Because clearly it's practically impossible to love 8 billion people, right? I mean, it's practically impossible probably to love 1,000 people, or, you know, so what sphere? I mean, how do I work out who my neighbor is? If Jesus says to love your neighbor as you love yourself, we'll get to loving self next week. But loving neighbor, if I love my neighbor, who is my neighbor? And that was a legitimate question that somebody asked Jesus. Who is my neighbor? It's a genuine question of the 8 billion people on the planet today. Which ones should I actually choose? Luke 10:36, which kind of summarizes the Good Samaritan. He says, which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? You might remember the story that the man fell among robbers, and then the priest walked by, the Levite walked by. You know, the people who should have helped didn't help, but the enemy, the opposition person, came and helped him. And he said, the one who showed mercy. And Jesus said to him, you go and do likewise. In other words, show mercy to people regardless really of their race, their background, their religion. The neighborly thing is to show mercy and love people. So who is that going to be tomorrow, this week, this year? There was a great writer and thinker in the early church, a man called St. Augustine. And he wrote this around about 300 AD, you know, really early in the church history. Brilliant quote. Let me read it to you. He says, since you cannot do good to all, you are to pay special regard to those to by accidents of time or place or circumstance are brought into closer connection with you. What a great quote. Now, I don't believe that Augustine is talking about real accidents, because God in his wisdom and his sovereignty actually designs circumstances and people. But I love this thought, you know, you cannot do good to all. You cannot bless 8 billion people or love them even. So you ought to pay special regard to those of accidents of time or place or circumstance are brought into closer connection with you. They're the people that you should be loving. They're the people, they're your neighbors, the ones that are brought close to you, your family, your friends, your neighbors, your physical, practical neighbors, the workmates. They're the people primarily that you should love. It doesn't mean that you don't love the stranger who comes along or somebody else or don't care about other people. But if you're not loving the people right close to you, then there's something wrong. And that's what Jesus is underscoring. It's who do you come across? For the Good Samaritan, it was the person who was dying in a ditch by accident of time and place, etc. He demonstrated love and mercy and compassion because he came across somebody, literally, physically, and showed great love. So my question to you as we start this, how do we do that practically, is let's flick it around. I wonder if I was to go and interview your neighbor, what they'd say about you. How would they rate you? How would they rate your love for them? You know, hi neighbor, my name's Jeff. I'm doing some research on Bill here. Bill, how would you rate Bill? How do you think he is a good neighbor? 1 to 10. Do you think he's a good neighbor? Not so good neighbor? Really bad neighbor? You know, does he have the loud music and the barking dogs? How would you rate? Wouldn't that be an interesting question? Can you think right now of your neighbors, your friends, your family, physical neighbors, work colleagues, the people in your world socially? How would they rate you on a scale of 1 to 10? That's a frightening question, isn't it? Because if I ask myself that and I think about the people in my world, I start to think, oh no, I'm not sure that I'm doing so well in all my spheres. I reckon I ignore a lot of people. I reckon I'm too busy for a lot of people. I reckon I'm trying to do too much for too many people, you know, so things fall through. I just wonder how my neighbors would really rate me, or would they even remember me? Oh yeah, he's the guy who lives over there. Never seen him. Never known him. Wouldn't that be a tragedy? Or your work colleagues that, oh, he's the guy who sits over there. Yeah, he just keeps to himself. I don't think he really cares much for me. Or your relatives, you know, the people, your aunts and uncles and cousins, and sons, daughters, parents. How would they rate you in the way that you love them? Terrifying question for me, and perhaps it is for you. So why don't you spend 2022 thinking about how to love God and love neighbor and love self? We'll talk about that next week. Wouldn't it be great just to realign things? If Jesus is saying, this is the greatest commandment, to love the Lord your God with your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself, don't you think that would need priority? Don't you think it'd be good to have that as front and center of your world, and even for it to require some planning and some proactive organization of your world so that that actually happened? Join up, sign up, because that's where I'm going this year. I'm so excited to actually put that into practice so that we can love neighbors as Jesus would have us. So here's really, really three things, simple things that you can put into place starting today to help you love your neighbor so that you can be responding to Jesus' love for you. Three ways to love your neighbor this year. You ready? Forgive. Number one, forgive your neighbor. Forgiveness. Forgiveness. Forgiveness is such a key to healthy relationships. Forgiveness is completely underrated in our world today. You say, forgive? I mean, what do you mean forgive? What about serving and acting and doing things? No, forgive. Number one. It's the number one barrier to relationships going south is unforgiveness, bitterness, resentment, discord, disunity, those things actually drive a wedge bigger than any fence between your neighbor. And when I'm talking neighbor, I'm talking those people that sort of St. Augustine identified, who by accidents of time and space are brought into a closer connection to you, your family, your immediate family, your birth family, adopted family, whoever that is. Is there anyone that you haven't forgiven? Is there anyone who you can't work towards to being in a relationship that really works? Let's have a look at the scriptures, what they say. Colossians 3 verse 12. Paul writes this to the Colossian church. He says, "Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience." I mean, there's a great list right there of how to be neighborly, how to be love. Bearing with one another. And if anyone has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. That's a high standard. If anyone's got a complaint, forgive them. Forgive them. Not forgive them as this world forgives them. Not sort of, yeah, it's all right. That's the Australian way. Someone comes and says, "Oh, look, I'm really sorry about that." And we say, "Yeah, no, don't worry about it. She'll be right." That's not forgiveness. That's brushing it away. Forgiveness says, "I forgive you. Acknowledge that a wrong has been done." And then wipe it away with a statement that says, "I forgive you." That's powerful. That's how Jesus forgave. In fact, Jesus' forgiveness goes a step further than that. His forgiveness extends to those who don't even see a wrong has been committed, right? He forgave his enemies. He forgave the ones who stuck him on a cross. He says, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." And he said that even though they didn't ask Jesus for forgiveness, you know, nailing him to a cross. "Oh, Jesus, I'm sorry. I have to do this because it's my job." They didn't say that. They didn't ask for forgiveness, but Jesus extended forgiveness anyway. Regardless, even if they were cold and stony hearted, they didn't. Jesus says, "Forgive them." So here's a simple rule in life this year: forgive everyone, everything, all the time. Keep a really short account. If you find yourself getting bitter or resentful, hey, Jesus, help me to forgive. Just by saying it, forgive that person, forgive them. I forgive them. I forgive them. After a while, the reality of forgiveness, the feeling of forgiveness will settle in. It might take some time, but just keep forgiving people. So who in your world do you need to forgive at the start of this year? You don't want to carry unforgiveness from last year into this year. It's like going to bed, you know, full of anger and resentment and waking up in the morning. End the year in forgiveness, in resolution, and start the year looking forward, looking ahead to a clean set of relationships. Forgive, forgive. I love this, Colossians 3. So forgive each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. Must. It's emphatic. You've got to do this. It's so important. It's so important. Make a plan to both forgive offenses and also to just keep walking in forgiveness, because stuff is going to happen this year, I guarantee it. I can guarantee someone's going to offend you this year. It's probably already happened. Someone's going to make life difficult for you this year. Someone's going to just irk you somehow. Someone's going to tread on your toes. Somebody's going to do stuff that you really hate. And you're going to find it hard unless you have a plan to forgive them. When that happens, you go, that's right. 2022 is a year that I'm going to love my neighbor. And the first part of that is forgiving them, because after that, real relationship can flow. You can't have a real relationship with people you're not forgiving. It doesn't work that way. Forgive them right now, even in your head. We're going to take some time at the end to do this. But just start thinking, who in my world do I need to forgive right up front, and make a plan. That's the first thing. Second thing is about justice. How do you love your neighbor? Practical ways of loving your neighbor. Number two is justice. That's standing up for people. You look through the entire scriptures. justice is such a key. Justice. God is into justice. Now, it's not the kind of fluffy, airy-fairy justice that our world talks about. This is real, genuine justice that goes unseen so much. It's not kind of stand up for something because it's politically correct justice. It's justice that's unseen and undergirds things and makes things happen because we really care about the people. Here's a scripture, Micah 6:8. He has told you, O man, what's good. What does the Lord require of you? To do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. Do justice. It's an action. Now, I'm just wondering right now. You scan around your neighbors, your friends, your family, the people close to you. Who in your world has an injustice going on? Who in your world needs somebody to come alongside and stand with them in their time of trial? Who in your world has been wronged and you think there's power inside of you or in God to do something about it? Even just making the connection, say, hey, this situation is terrible. Can I pray for you? Or getting alongside them and walking through them with some kind of justice, but standing up for people. And if you don't know people to stand up for, then maybe you need to find some people. Or find a cause, find a good cause. There's so many great organizations, Christian organizations particularly, that stand up for justice. Throw them some money, support them, pray for them. If they're in a different country where they're facing incredible persecution or injustice, and there's organizations that can really practically help that situation, what a great thing to support them and pray for them financially. That's why we sponsor Compassion Kids, because the injustice of poverty really makes a difference on kids' lives. But we can do something about it. We can stand up for the injustice of poverty and pray and give and walk with those kids. That's just one small way, but maybe there's many other ways. But find yourself this year fighting quietly for justice. Do it just for the person that you're standing up for. You don't need to publish it on social media. You don't need to broadcast it. Just do it. Amen. Stand up for justice to your neighbor. And the third one, really simple message, to love your neighbor. First one is forgive people. Second one is to stand up for justice. The third one is probably the most significant, is to share Jesus with your neighbor. Now, I know, it's a difficult world. I know, straight up, we think, oh, sharing Jesus, I can make them a cup of tea, I can mow their lawns, I can stand up for my forgiveness, but sharing Jesus, I've tried that. They don't want to know. I tried to invite them to church once and they just looked at me strange. I know, I'm with you on this. Nevertheless, I've got an idea. Because I reckon it's time to share Jesus with our world. I reckon it's time to get back on the horse. I reckon it's time to start fighting for people's souls. I reckon it's time to see salvations in this house again in 2022. You with me? I think it's time. And I think here's a key. I think if you've failed or you just feel like you're just ineffective in sharing your faith, I'm going to give you three really, really simple things to do, because I think this is the greatest way that you can show love for someone, is to share with them the news that will change their life. It will change their life here. It will change their eternity forever. It is the greatest act of love that you can do for someone, is to share the hope that you have in Jesus with them. Here's how. Because Mark 16, he says, go into all creation and proclaim the gospel. All the world. It's emphatic. Go into all the world, but especially your neighbors, especially the ones closest to. Let's change something this year. Let's make 22 different. Let's seize the opportunity, because I reckon there's grace right now for our church to seize this and run with it. Here it is. Here's my three. Prayer. Start with prayer. Don't rush in and share your faith and blurt it out. Pray. Make a list. I have a list. It's in my head. And I pray for about 10 people right now on my list every day. It's just one of the things that I pray. It's this little finger. Pray for people that need to know Jesus in my immediate circumstance. And I pray and I lift their names up before Jesus and ask them that they would come to know Jesus. Pray for them. Make a list. What if you prayed every day for kingdom breakthrough in their lives? That the kingdom of God, that God would start to open up their hearts. That God would start to help them understand, it would transform their mind. That God's Holy Spirit would come and start stirring seeds of grace and forgiveness. And that they would start to understand the great gap between them and God. But they'd start to also see the great potential and hope in Jesus. That is a work of the Holy Spirit. Salvation is God's work, but we can surely ask. And so join me in writing a list of people that you want to see come to faith in Jesus from your context, from your neighbors, the people who live close to you, the people who work with you, your friends, your family. Start there. Start praying for them for kingdom breakthrough. And just watch what he will do. Watch how he will start to move in their world. Walk in divine circumstances that are going to start to open up in people's worlds. Prayer, care is number two. This is how we share faith, share Jesus with our neighbor. Care for people. Praying for people and caring for people. Praying always leads to caring. So start praying and then start caring for people. Start actually doing something for them. Because when you're praying for them, you might see opportunities. You know that? I could mow that lawn. I could make this person a meal. I could just ring them. They might just need a chat. They might just need some encouragement in some ways. Or can I do something for their families? And the action of loving neighbor starts to kick in right there. But it's done side by side with praying. Prayer and care, prayer and care, prayer and care. Those two things are going to work together. And people will see that you're not just trying to bash them with the Bible, but you actually love them and you're getting into their world and coming side by side with someone. Do you know that's how I came to faith in Christ? Somebody came alongside me and noticed me and got into my world and started to invest in me. And suddenly I was in a different space because I could see that this person was different. And I wanted what he had. And I chased it because I could see something different. Let your friends see something different in you. Pray for them, care for them, share for them. Share your story. Practice your story. What is it? Just your own story. And it might just come one day that you go, you know what? Hey, you know, I was like that one day and this is what happened to me. This is how Jesus completely changed me. This is what happened to me. And just by telling a story, by getting good, practicing what was it like beforehand, now what did I become? And without really, you know, demanding and pushing them, just simply share your story. Isn't that easy? Prayer, care, share. It even rhymes. I made that up myself. I did. Prayer, care, share. This could really lead some people to faith in Christ this year. This could transform people's worlds. This could make the difference for their eternity. Your friends, your family, the ones that you care about. Prayer, share, and care. I think I got that order wrong. Prayer, care, and share in that order. And you will find people listening, wanting, that they might then respond to an invitation to come to church or to a life group or just to, hey, can you tell me more? How do I do this? And you'll find it leads to all kinds of conversations. Go into the whole world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. It's going to be an amazing year. It's the ultimate act of loving your neighbor. I really hope as we finish this message off that you've got a great desire to love your neighbor. It is the highest thing that we can do alongside loving God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Those two things are right up there together. Jesus says those two things summarize the entire Old Testament Bible. Wrap it up, sum it up like that. it should be the highest thing that we would aim for this year. Get practical, start to put in some place some things. And I tell you, this year you will see your neighbors loved, really forgiven, accepted, loved, and filled with joy. Let me pray for you. Lord Jesus, I'm praying for each person listening to this. Fill them with a great love for their neighbors. Help them to identify their neighbors. Help them to know who they are. Help them, Lord Jesus, to pray for them, to care for them, and to share with them the news that we have in Christ. And Lord, I'm praying for a mighty harvest this year, a mighty harvest of souls that people go out of their way to win because we're responding to your love, Lord Jesus. Amen. Hey, well, I can't wait to share more with you next week on loving self. It's the next part of this series, Love God, Love Neighbor, Love Self. It's a curious one, but it's going to be great. See you next week.
Hey, thanks for joining us today. We'd love to get to know you better. Come and visit us at one of our Sunday services in Bathurst, rear of 217 Howard Street. Have a week filled with life.